It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins After Dark. At 145, where are we at in society? Did you know there are now more than 150 genders? Yep, the BBC says so. So I guess we need to look at some of the lesser known genders and see what exactly they mean. We are heading towards the fifth element, people. At Flex 30, Chad's obsession with the drip QB, Austin Novosad, is apparently contagious.
How dare you?
And in mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Paul Wadlington of Inside Texas on 3.com and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is the man himself, Chad Hastings.
My goodness. Hour number two begins. We always love talking to Paul Wadlington, but now we've really got some things we need to hit. I definitely want to hear his thoughts on Texas recruiting over the last week. We need to get his opinion on that A&M player personnel guy and the tour of Kyle Field. But wow, this story out of the West Coast, his neck of the woods, as we always, when we talk to him, he is out there on the West Coast. But this USC-UCLA maybe going to the Big Ten story. Got to get his thoughts there. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is Paul Wadlington. Let me run him down for you. InsideTexas.com, On3.com, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. Grab that wherever you get your podcasts. And yes, the Thinking Texas Football preview is ready for 2022, and we'll tell you a little more about how you can get that. Trey, he is also sponsored.
Yes, Thinking Texas Football, an important thing to mention this week because it is now out, and our weekly chat with Paul is brought to you by the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. Find out more about Wadlington and Winslow after our chat with Paul. What's up, Paul? How you doing today?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing great. Have you ever heard the idea that there's certain decades that it feels like weeks go by, and then there's certain weeks where decades happen? I feel like that's been the last week of Texas football and college football.
So had you heard about the USC-UCLA thing before Chad just mentioned it?
I had, yeah. And in fact, like USC and UCLA, I've fled for greener pastures. I no longer live in California.
Inland, congratulations. So. The move is official to Colorado.
You made the
now
move.
Now a native of Colorado Springs, Colorado, getting that much closer to Texas. You guys are welcome up here any August. You want to flee, you can do your show remote. No one will be the wiser.
So wait a second. Let me make sure I get this right. As of today, you moved from California to Colorado. So you went from Big Ten country to Pac-12 country.
That's right. For the moment, we're gonna see. Colorado will soon be joining the Mountain West.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, Paul, all these stories, I feel like the rearrangement of college football, I'm an old man sometimes, but it feels so unnecessary to me. If they could just all get a structure in place, get an expanded playoff, and then we could all move on. But what do you make of this notion? USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, that does not make any sense to me whatsoever.
It makes sense if you look at college football breaking up into a group of super conferences, regional super conferences. And yes, I know your first retort will be, well, they're not in the region. Well, that doesn't matter.
Right.
But what they're trying to do is join a viable entity. The Pac-12, its days are numbered. And that has to do with really bad mismanagement, some degree of apathy, but also a conference commissioner who really put them on the wrong track. And, you know, and also, frankly, they kind of committed conference suicide last year. They were more interested in virtue signaling than actually reading the science of how COVID-19 affected healthy young men. And we found out when we played the season that it didn't affect them much at all. And, you know, the Pac-12 really cost themselves quite a bit by dithering and wringing their hands and then having an abbreviated season. So whatever fans they had, were pretty much just like threw up their hands and rolled their eyes and said, you know, we can't even make a ham sandwich correctly. So I think USC and UCLA wanted to flee to viability. That's what they're fleeing towards, and that's what the Big Ten represents.
So you think this is partially a result of Kliavkov now being in charge of the Pac-12 and essentially serving as a spokesperson for the alliance and convincing those other two conferences to vote against a college football expanded playoff before 2025? So you think the new AD is a big reason why this is happening then, huh?
I don't know. I do think it's the prior leadership in the Pac-12 itself.
Okay, so you're saying Larry Scott is the problem. Okay, I got
you. Yeah, he did a very poor job.
Yeah.
He tried to pull the, hey, I'm a visionary, I'm going to sell our rights streaming rights to Amazon. This is far more valuable than silly old doddering network television. And what he didn't understand is that you needed a buyer. And then secondly, doddering old network television, they understand the only thing that pays the bills anymore is live action sports. And that's why they're willing to write colossal checks to entities like the SEC and the Big Ten to have live college football, because it is one of the few remaining areas where you can actually generate ad revenue. Because everything else, look, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware of these DVRs that these kids are watching nowadays and, you know, streaming video and all this other stuff, Chad. And the fact is, you know, live sports is really the only way that you can get a major corporation's messaging in front of captive audience. And, you know, for a supposed visionary on the West Coast to not understand this and think that, you know, he's going to sell the rights to Facebook and Meta, you know, it just didn't happen. And he didn't have the product to make that happen. And ultimately, I think it's going to be the death of the Pac-12.
Man, tell you what it does create. I was just thinking, there are certain groups of Big Ten fans that get a great road trip or two. Now, two road trips they didn't have.
It's only a 40-hour drive.
Right. Well, I'm assuming I'm saying the ones that can afford plane tickets. Those are the ones I was referencing.
It's so interesting to watch the Pac-12 and the Big 12 both jockey to see who can end up at the bottom first, to see which conference ends up dissolving first. And I guess to the Big 12's credit, they've tried to reload with some legitimate programs that have made more noise than the Longhorns have over the last decade. Cincinnati, obviously, UCF. Houston is Houston, but they provide that large market in a sense. And then also BYU, which has a huge national presence as well. What do you think the Pac-12's next step is, Paul, in terms of trying to find some other schools to replace USC and UCLA like the Big 12 did?
So BYU, yes, you're right. The Cincinnati, hey, hats off to them. They are an overachieving, really good program on the field. That's completely irrelevant to how this is all going to shake out. This is about television sets. And the Texas Longhorns, it's television sets, living alumni, and degree of fervency of your fan base. Texas checks every one of those boxes. OU, to a much lesser degree, checks those boxes, certainly the fervency of fan base. That is their value. And once you deprive the Big 12 of state of Texas television sets, which the University of Houston does not provide, the Big 12 is, you know, if they're going to be brought into a super conference structure, it's going to be as a charity case.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I think the Big 12 is doing the best that they can given the circumstances. Like, they were never going to replace Texas and Oklahoma, but they're trying something, even if that effort is feeble. It is maybe trying to go and find the best of the rest.
You have to go get the best of the rest, and that's how you create something viable and sort of plucky. And, you know, you do the sort of programming and marketing of hey, we're a fun league to watch, and, you know, we're available these late night games for the true college football junkies. But, you know, once the SEC fully wraps up the state of Texas, which is what Texas A&M and Texas provide, I mean, at a level tenfold compared to the number three within the state. You know, once you get that tranche, you consolidate the South, and then you have the Big Ten consolidating its country, which the Big Ten has the largest number of living alumni in the country. I don't think most people know that. You know, they have real schools. Like, you know, their schools are like, it's the school of the state. Like, Illinois is Illinois. Iowa is conveniently Iowa. Like, you kind of get the drift, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the TCUs and SMUs don't provide that. It doesn't matter how plucky they are on the field.
Yeah, so, it's one of the reasons why Texas has always made logistical sense going to the Big Ten, even if I didn't want to see it happen necessarily, because I hate the idea of those road trips and having to play so many late season games in cold venues. Like, Texas and the Big Ten would have been a natural pairing too.
Yeah, Texas could have gone anywhere. And I think if you would have asked people 3 years ago, what are your early favorites, it would be the Big Ten, right? And then, you know, I think the Pac-12 was a viable potential thing, but they basically doused themselves in kerosene and started flicking matches up in the air. And Texas said, no thanks. And then the SEC, look, it's just too easy, right? I mean, that's the obvious one. But I think there was an element of Texas snobbery that was sort of prevented that. But once you have NIL, all that stuff's out the window. I mean, that's all gone, guys. Like our quaint notions of what college football should be, the student athlete, that's all over. It's done. So, just people have to square themselves to that new reality. I mean, some of the blue check mark journalists on Twitter were trying to get everyone, to the fainting couch and clutching their pearls because Billy Napier called four Florida football players into his office and cut them because he needed the scholarships to get to 85. And when you have the world of NIL and effectively paid players, paid amateurs, that's what's going to start happening from now on, right? And people are like, this is unprecedented. Hey, that's how it's going to be. You know, the players wanted to be paid for their name, image, and likeness, and by all means, they should be. But they got to understand that there's something that's going to come with that. And if you're not performing, they're going to try to allocate those scholarships elsewhere. And so you really have a professionalization of amateur sports. And I think it has a trickle up and a trickle down because you're seeing head coaches behave in ways that head coaches never behaved before. Like Lincoln Riley fleeing Oklahoma for USC. Yeah, that's a better job theoretically. But, historically, head coaches don't flee a top 10 job for another top 10 job when they're in great standing, right? You just don't do that. And you're going to see that happen more and more and more because people are going to be really vying for where they think not where the puck is. You know, the old Wayne Gretzky quote, don't skate to where the puck is, skate to where it's going to be. And I think that's what USC and UCLA are trying to do. They're skating to where the puck is going to be. They're not worried about where the puck currently is.
Talking with Paul Wadlington, InsideTexas.com, On3.com, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. And again, go find the Thinking Texas Football Preview, available in digital form. And Paul, there is a hard copy version they can get again. Is that true?
Absolutely. There's a hard copy on Amazon. It's a paperback, 150 beautiful pages of every conceivable angle of Texas Longhorn football breakdown, Big 12 opponent breakdown, then of course Alabama, UTSA, and the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. I go deep dive on every Texas opponent. There's a big breakdown of recruiting. There's even a special feature from Eric Nalin from Inside Texas, breaking down the insider scoop on how exactly Texas got the number one recruit in the country, Arch Manning.
Yeah, well, it leads us right to this next question because obviously Longhorn fans are living a bit of a dream right now. You can always talk about we want the badass recruit and then we want a lot of guys to follow right away. Boy, has that happened. It went from he was the eighth guy to now there are nine more since him that have given the verbal commitment. I'll let you go wherever you want. There's too many guys to go one by one, so give me your reaction.
I mean, there's too many guys. Yeah, he's the Pied Piper. And it's a level and a degree to which is unprecedented in Texas football history. You know, people were trying to compare it to Chris Sims. Chris Sims was valuable in getting the Roy Williams and B.J. Johnson, big three class the following year. But it's nothing compared to in terms of the Mannings are sort of the first family of football. And whether people like that or hate that, that's just the reality. And you've got the Mannings actively involved in recruiting for the University of Texas. That's pretty unprecedented. And I think it's making an impression. And beyond that, Arch is a good player. And the idea is that not only does he have a lot of physical upside, but he's got this mental framework that family seems to have in spades. And that really predicts success at certainly the college level, if not the next. So it's a huge deal. It's made a big impression on recruits all over Texas and the country. And there were guys that were kind of giving Texas the cold shoulder who are now actively calling and texting the coaches saying, how can I get in?
Yeah.
And the coaches are saying, we're running up against 25, guy. We're still waiting to hear on someone else. You're second in line.
Paul, other than Arch himself, of these other nine guys that have committed since, do you already have kind of a man crush on any of them? Are you really excited about any one of those guys?
Chad, I love all my children equally.
But fair enough.
No, I do think that there's some guys in the works that are going to be hitting soon. I'll just say that.
All right.
That are going to be game changers. Jonte Cook, the wide receiver from DeSoto, he's Xavier Worthy redo. And then Derek Williams, the big safety from New Iberia, southwestern Louisiana, Cajun country. If you can get a high-level recruit out of the heart of LSU recruiting country, that's pretty impressive. That's doing work. And there's the guy from Harker's Heights, the Semtex guy, Jaden Chapman.
Yep.
He's a really, really athletic offensive lineman and basketball player. He checks all the boxes of what you want to see. And he can move. He's got some nasty to him, and he's just super athletic. This is going to be a really good class, and it's going to be a lot of fun because, you know, Texas is going to put together back-to-back really good classes. A&M last year signed an historic class. I mean, arguably one of the greatest classes in college football history. We'll see how it pans out, but I think it's setting up to be a lot of fun. I think the haves are going to have more, and the have-nots are going to have not.
Speaking of A&M nabbing that big class, the most recent class back in, I guess, last December and February, an assistant with player personnel was caught on video telling a bunch of recruits at an official visit a few weekends ago, pointing at the suites at Kyle Field, saying these are the people that are eventually going to be hooking you up with dough when you decide to commit to Texas A&M. What'd you think of that video?
Maybe he was referencing a baking class. Why do you always have to be so negative, Trey?
I don't know.
You're just trying to, what are you, catering to the Texas Longhorn base in Austin?
Yeah, you should have heard me a couple segments ago when I'm like, it's not that big of a deal.
You know, I just think it's a brave new world. And I think some of the things you weren't supposed to say, the quiet parts out loud, you're saying them out loud nowadays, and people are going to have to learn to adjust to it. So, yeah, I don't think that's, you know, great, but, you know, I feel like it's Major League Baseball at the height of the steroid era. And I'm reading
an
these idiot like baseball that. Writers.
Yeah.
And I'm reading these idiot baseball writers who are in denial, or they're writing stupid things like, well, steroids won't help you hit the ball. And it's like, well, it will take that fly ball and put it 70 feet over the fence, and that scores runs. So it makes a big difference. But, you know, I'm just watching like everyone try to catch up to sort of what's happening, and I'm just amused by it. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but
I think
it's going to be entertaining.
The interesting part to me was that unless we missed it in the video, it was part of the presentation and not an answer to a question.
That's the best part. Is it that is an Aggie thing, is to put that in the PowerPoint presentation, right?
You
instead
answer-
of just having a little like, hey, you know, little behind closed doors, they're like, they put that in the PowerPoint presentation with the little graphic of the car skidding in to get extra attention, you know, when people get really excited with their PowerPoint. Yeah, I mean, that's really funny. That's really hilarious.
Man.
But what are you going to do? I mean, we're at that point, and, you know, any idea, I love when people are like, oh, the NCAA is going to want to hear about this. Hey, let's be real clear who the NCAA works for. The power relationship with that dynamic has shifted. So, you know, I think people need to realize that it's a brave new world, and they're going to have to readjust and recalibrate a lot of stuff. College football is a lot more professionalized, folks.
I know what I'm about to start doing, and that's referring to the A&M class of 2022 as the Brady Anderson 50 home run season.
And it would be even better if they go around on rollerblades. Do you remember that about Brady Anderson?
He was a big blader, yeah.
Oh, that does explain a lot.
That reminds me of my favorite rollerblading joke. Do you know the hardest thing about rollerblading?
No.
Telling your parents you're gay.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. Paul Wadlington, InsideTexas.com, On3.com, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, and the Thinking Texas Football Preview. Grab it digitally. Get the hard copy if you want, or Paul would actually appreciate it if you did both of those things, because if you have a digital copy, you can always take it with you. But Paul, if they also get the hard copy, they can put it right by their bed, or if they're like Kevin Dunn, they can live in the bathroom with it. They can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, the way he hits the bathroom, he can read entire chapters at a time. So, yeah, I mean, if you guys buy both of them, both the e-version and the paperback version, me or Trey will come to your house and read it to you.
Nice.
Deal.
Nice. I would want a back and forth there. Can I do that? Can I have, like, you read chapter one and then Trey reads chapter two?
Yeah, it'll be like a retort rebuttal, little cabinet battle, Jefferson Hamilton.
Yeah,
I like it.
Because if I'm a Texas fan, while you're describing it to me, I would think the season actually might have some promise. But then as Trey is describing it to me, I would feel that robotic, wait a second, we can't get too ahead of ourselves, so it would balance out.
I do think the Debbie Downer character in Saturday Night Live was fashioned after Trey Elling.
Rachel Dratch.
My kids will be thankful that I'm reading to somebody else for the night.
That's true.
Versus putting them to sleep.
Oh, my goodness. Paul, we always appreciate the time. Glad we got to all three of those crazy topics with you. Have a great weekend. Trey will tell them about Wildington and Winslow, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. You have a good one.
Enjoy the mountain life, brother. Oh, so happy that he's finally in Colorado Springs. Hey, do need to let you know that our weekly chats with Paul are brought to you by his company, the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. You know how sharp Paul is, so you have to understand that if he's going to go into business with somebody with regards to mortgages, he's going to find the best in the business, and that's what Gabe Winslow is. Austin's housing market is still sizzling, and home values continue to rise, but interest rates have also gone up. Now at 14-year highs, but that's the average, which is why it is so important to contact Wadlington and Winslow if you are looking to purchase a new home or for a cash-out refi. I've spoken with Gabe and Paul recently, and my mind was blown by the deals they're still landing for clients. Here's the key, though. You've got to be a well-qualified buyer, but there are plenty of those out there right now. So if you are a well-qualified buyer who's looking to secure a safe loan to buy a house or for some cash in pocket now, based on your home's skyrocketing value, it's high time you call Wadlington and Winslow at 832-557-1095. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. 832-557-1095 or reach out at mortgagesbygabe.com. That's mortgagesbygabe.com for the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team.
Gabe Winslow Mortgage Broker, NMLS number 1613381, C2 Financial, NMLS number 135622.
All right, coming up, it's our Flex 30 segment. Apparently, I'm not the only one that's digging Austin Novosad anymore. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
All right, I got this one. I got this one in one note. Does Trey Elling have it? That's the question. Come on, Trey. All I see is the video. And they were known for a video or two.
I don't have it.
Oh, no. I thought it was coming. I really did. I thought you had it. Zay, would you know this? Like, before you played it, did you know this song?
No.
No? Okay. Duran Duran.
Oh, man. I almost guessed that as a joke. I should have.
Wild Boys. Duran Duran. Simon Le Bon almost drowned while making this video.
What?
They put him on a big... They did this as a Mad Max vibe. Remember, this is in the day you didn't have to have a reason. You just made wild, crazy big videos. They put him on a big wheel, like a torture wheel thing, where when you hit the bottom of the wheel, you went underwater. Your head literally went underwater. So they were trying to make this big theatrical thing, and he's singing while he's doing it, and Simon was a sexy dude, and he's slinging his hair and trying to look sexy. Well, at some point while they're filming, the wheel stopped with Simon on the bottom. And they had to get out there fast. And he was apparently underwater, like trying to hold his breath for like 30 seconds before they got to him.
He almost got Harry Houdini'd.
He did, exactly. That's what I always remember when I hear Wild Boys. Duran Duran, Tina Turner, and Sum 41 have already been on the show today. Thanks to Paul Wadlington for his time. Crazy football stories that we had to get to with Paul today. There's a lot of stuff going on here on a Thursday.
Speaking of pop punk real quick with Sum 41, I know I mentioned Blink-182 earlier. We're not going to talk about this during Why Today Matters, but did you know tomorrow is Blink-182 Day? Do you know why?
Blink-182 Day.
July 1st.
July 1st.
Every July 1st, although occasionally it's July 2nd.
Blink-182.
Or I'm sorry, occasionally it's June 30th.
I don't know.
It's the 182nd day of the year.
Oh, good grief.
So Blink 182 fans have started to dub that Blink 182 day.
311 fans think they're working too hard. Because 311 fans did the easiest thing, right? They just went March 11th and moved on.
Simple.
You guys are counting to 182? Really?
By the way, Travis Barker apparently is dealing with pancreatitis.
Oh,
His daughter is asking for everybody's thoughts and prayers right now because it's bad.
That's not good.
It's a guy who's been through a freaking plane crash.
Yeah, he has. That's one tough dude. Let's hope he can beat that. All right, so we've got a cool discussion coming up at 2 o'clock. If you are a fan of food in Austin, it's about that time. Austin Chronicle is putting together their Best of Austin. They've already had the Best of Austin, but they're focusing in on the restaurants coming up. The voting is about to begin. In fact, it technically starts today. You can vote in all kinds of categories. We'll give you that info coming up, austinchronicle.com, if you want to get ahead of the game. Sarah Wolf and Melanie Hopp from Austin Chronicle are going to come talk to us at 2. And at 1:45, Trey's got a wild where we at in society where we learn about new genders that apparently exist.
150 of them, Chad.
Oh, my God. We'll see if we can get to 80 or so today. But right now, let's talk about the Flex segment. It's Flex 30, and we'll talk about a local quarterback.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com.
All right, FLXATX.com. If you go there, you can see all the All-Flex watch list, Trey, including the quarterback watch list, which does feature Dripping Springs quarterback Austin Novosad. And we talked about Austin a few weeks ago. I went to one of the early 7-on-7s, and he's just one of those guys that jumped out to me. I enjoyed watching the Dripping Springs crew, and I told you at that time that he was a Baylor commit, but I wanted to see how it would develop. How would this story evolve? Because I've watched him, and I'm not trying to dog Baylor here at all, but I'm thinking, now that kid can sling it. If you need a quarterback, maybe somebody you look at. So now here's how things have progressed. He goes to Baylor and commits, he committed in December.
Mm-hmm.
Then he took a trip to Baylor earlier this month. Literally the next week, he went to Columbus, to Ohio State. Apparently, Ryan Day and his offensive coordinator like him enough. They did a special workout with him, and they've expressed some interest. They are interested enough that they offered him. Mm. So now he's got an Ohio State offer, too. I'm reading an article where he's trying to decide between the two, referencing the two of them. But wait a second. Then he went to 7-on-7 state level in College Station, finished up when the Dripping Springs finished playing, he heads over to A&M and he'd already been there a couple times on a camp or whatever. He heads over, talks to Coach Fisher, talks to Coach Dickey, and guess what? They offered him too. His parents both went to A&M, so people are thinking there might be a legacy thing there. He talked about how cool it was that he got the offer. Does that just mean cool on its face? Or does that mean cool like he would accept that offer? So those three are now in play, plus some other offers that he already had. And he was at Elite 11 this week, which gets you a little attention as a quarterback. So Austin Novosad is getting more and more eyeballs on him. And if you are a Baylor football fan, I would just tell you to grab and hold on. And because right now I would tell you, you got to just hope at this point. Because if you want to show off as a quarterback and you think you're that good, Columbus, Ohio is not a bad idea right now.
Well, now you know how I felt when I was telling everybody that 13-year-old Natalie Portman was going to be a hottie one day. And that's not dirty because I was 13 or 14 at the time, too. But I got to give you big credit. You were all over this kid a month or so ago. And since then, a lot of other people have jumped on board. And I think we're going to have to consider that Baylor commitment a bit flimsy right now. Even if he sticks with the Bears, the fact that you have these big-time programs pursuing you now, it's a complete game-changer.
Here's the good – well, to me, it's good news, could be good, bad news, whatever. But the news I'm also reading from his comments, it feels like Austin wants to be one of the guys that gets this done before the season begins.
Of course.
Arch Manning was that way. Apparently, Cooper Manning was really that way. But he wants to get it done. And remember how this relates to the Manning thing. When Manning gave everybody the indication behind the scenes that he was headed to Texas, it freaked Bama out a little bit. They knew they couldn't have Manning, so they had to have Holstein. Holstein is Eli Holstein, who was a verbal to A&M. Mm-hmm. They pushed him hard and somehow got, and whatever it was, whether it was a visit or whatever, changed his mind. He commits to Bama. Now the Aggies all of a sudden need a 2023 quarterback. And when Novosad comes to town, I guess that's when they put it all together and went, hey, maybe we're going to take a look at this kid that Ohio State offered. and they bring him in. Also, Stanford has offered him in case he's looking strictly at an education. And,
oh, man.
You know, that part of California. I believe he also, if I'm not mistaken, the Stanford offer is there as well. So Austin Novosad is starting to increase his options. And again, if you're a Baylor fan, you just got to hope Aranda has done enough to get the personal side. They were the first one to make the offer, so maybe that'll matter to him. As of right now, he is still a Baylor commit.
I feel like you, as an A&M fan, the first question you need to ask about a quarterback, if he is considering your school, is his dad the head coach at the high school? Because if not, it's probably not going to work out with Jimbo. So is Austin Novosad's dad the head coach at the Drip?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Yeah, another good way to ask that question would be, how do you respond when people yell at you or just talk a lot at your face? What do you do?
That's right, because sometimes Jimbo is just puking words. Like, even though he's trying to get a point across, it's just so intense and it's just so nonstop, the message is going to be lost.
You got to want to be coached like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be another question. So it's something to keep an eye on. Again, check out FLXATX.com, the All Flex watch list. This is the discussion that we're expanding this season thanks to the Flex guys. We do it at 1:30. Bucky and Aaron at 8:30. 11:30 with Light the Tower. 3:45 with the afternoon show. And I heard the afternoon guys talking Novosad yesterday, playing some sound relating to Austin. So he's going to be an interesting guy to check out, see where he ends up.
Dude, we're getting more information on USC and UCLA bolting on the Pac-12.
What do you got?
Heather Dench, who
Dench is connected.
Dench, who's currently a writer for ESPN, obviously, said she just talked to a source in the Pac-12 who just told me, quote, "This is Bob Bowlesby all over again. We got Soonered and Horned."
Ooh.
So if that happens,
I made that reference to you during the break. I said this felt almost like the Texas-Oklahoma thing.
Well, you and I talked about it a couple segments ago, too. Like, if they got railroaded like this, the alliance is almost certainly over with. Like, this level of double cross has occurred to where the Pac-12, which is supposed to be kind of the spokes conference for these other two leagues, you just had your two of your best schools, I won't say your two best, because I think Oregon has an argument as being the number two, if not number one right now for the Pac-12. Two of your best schools poached by that other conference that you're supposedly in cahoots with, and you're going to remain in cahoots?
Yeah, it's the
you can't trust that other side anymore.
Yeah, the alliance part is weird. We could go into the Texas, OU, SEC, Big 12 stuff and find alliances or agreements or things like that to make you question it, but it wasn't that formal. It was not that formal where the SEC and Big 12 had announced some kind of a...
No.
Now, do they have agreements we could talk about? Yes, they do.
Sure.
But were they announcing it like those conferences were? No, they were not. The fact that you're voting together to get rid of an expanded playoff for a while, and now this is happening, the Trojans and Bruins are undercutting the Pac-12 to go Big 10. That's nuts.
Ross Dellinger of SI is saying that the deal could be done in a matter of days / hours.
God.
It is down the line. Big Ten is prepared for the announcement. Target year is 2024. The schools expressed interest to the Big Ten several months ago. Negotiations escalated over the last few weeks. This is literally a repeat of what happened with Texas and Oklahoma last summer.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the news hit, and then we find out this has actually been going on for a little while. And how about this? From Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic. I hope this isn't true. I don't like the idea of this at all. I think that super conferences is one thing, but you can go overboard with the super conference idea too. Just got off the phone with someone who believes this eventually leads to two mega conferences.
No, good Lord.
The Big Ten and SEC with 20 or more members apiece.
Good grief.
No, no, no.
Here we go. Big difference, by the way, between this year and last year. That Texas-Oklahoma thing happened after all the media days were done, not before.
Oh, you're right about that.
That'll change.
That is true.
Changes the whole run of media days for those two conferences.
Well, for the first time in 5 years, people are going to care about Pac-12 media days.
We have to start looking up when it is.
No kidding. You and I may want to travel to Pac-12 media days now that we're talking about
it. Do they even do that anymore? Have they even scheduled it for this year? We'll have to find out.
I will say about just having the two mega conferences, though, at least you're not having to worry about that many more mouthy conference commissioners.
Oh, don't help them out. Don't help them. We don't need to go there.
I don't want it necessarily, but I'm just thinking of silver linings to that sort of setup.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll keep you updated on that story. Wild college football stuff. We'll talk Austin Chronicle, the best Best of Austin Restaurant Edition debuts today. We'll tell you how you can vote coming up. Plus, up next, where are we at in society? There are apparently now over 150 genders. Trey will introduce you to a few of them coming up on The Horn.
Boy, you should know that I've got you on my mind. Your secret admirer, I've been
Shirts and Skins.
Wow. That one picked up. If that's a drum machine, that's a hell of a drum machine.
I used to know who this is.
This feels ensemble to me. Is this an ensemble? This feels like an ensemble. Or is this one artist?
So, I know Jermaine Dupri produced it.
Jermaine Dupri produced it. Okay, but is it an individual artist or is it a group?
I feel like it's a group.
Group, okay. All right, Trey, off of that information.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
I'll just throw En Vogue out there, but I have no idea.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. That's a really good guess.
I'll throw En Vogue out.
En Vogue's great.
This is Ghost Town DJs.
Oh, okay.
I want to say Jermaine Dupri just found some random women in Atlanta that he didn't have to pay very much money and said, you know what? You could sing a little bit.
That does not sound like a professional way to describe that. Just found some women.
That's how he found Crisscross. He was in some Atlanta mall. He saw some two cool little kids and said, oh, man, they got all the little teenage girls on them. I'm going to make that a group.
Wow.
And turned them into Crisscross. That's how he rolled.
These two boys are wearing their clothes backwards. They must have a hip-hop hit in them.
Were they doing that when he discovered them?
I think so.
Was that their thing?
That was their thing.
That was an amazing commitment that took. That's true commitment right there. Because at some point, you got to have somebody help you. You can't do all that by yourself. You got to have people helping get you dressed if you're going to fully commit. Because they used to do backwards baseball jerseys. Y'all remember that, right?
They weren't
just doing backwards t-shirts, man. They were doing backwards button-up baseball jerseys.
I'm pretty sure because the jerseys were pretty baggy that they were buttoning them before putting them on. They weren't needing little kids. Chris wasn't needing Cross to button the jersey up from the backside. Can you guys name a second Crisscross song?
You just came up with like the title of their autobiography or their memoir. Chris Needs Cross is what they should have called
it. Well, one is dead now.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of them is either the late Chris or the late Cross, whichever one. Other than Jump, can I name another Crisscross? I can't. Zay, do you know another one?
I should. I'm literally picturing the beat in my head of the song. It's when they're a little bit older, but I don't know the word.
I'm going to say it's...
Or the title.
Baby, Put It On Backwards. No, I have no idea. What is it? Do you have one?
I Miss the Bus. Warm It Up.
Warm It Up. Of course.
All Right.
Wait, that's the one I should have known. I reference that one all the time. Warm It Up, Chris. I'm about to. Or Warm It Up, because that's what I was born to do.
Yep. That is the other one. That's the only other one that I would have recognized.
How did I not say that?
They also had Da Bomb, Tonight's the Night, Live and Die for Hip Hop. By the way, it was Chris who died of a drug overdose back in 2013.
That sucks, man.
Cross is still around as far as I know.
Man, oh man. All right, so Ghost Town DJs somehow sent us down that road. Duran Duran, Tina Turner, Sum 41, they've all been a part of the show today.
Now, did the wearing your clothes backwards thing extend to the shoes too? Like, obviously you can't turn your shoes around, but are you wearing the left shoe on the right foot and vice versa?
I do not know. Zay? You have any thoughts on that?
Because that just sounds uncomfortable.
Were they reversing shoes, too?
I don't think they were doing all that.
Nah.
Turning their socks inside out before putting them on?
I don't think that was necessary. I think they were the shirt and the pant. Like, I don't even expect they did it with their underwear. I don't think you go that far.
No, you have to do it with the underwear.
You do?
Yes.
Because if you're the groupie who ends up seeing that situation, you want to feel like it's authentic?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot of pressure. It really is.
Well, we haven't even gotten into the whole tucking element yet.
Oh my God. Then she's completely confused when things look right. Whoa, wait, isn't that supposed to be on the other snow?
Did you play Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, my God. Put the lotion in the basket, and would you please help me button this shirt up, please?
Oh, wait. Well, she's a great big fat person.
Okay. 2 o'clock hour coming up.
I bet you didn't know I had a Buffalo Bill impersonation.
That was really good, too. That may be your best impersonation, the Buffalo Bill. I don't know what that says about you.
My Bob Dylan impersonation says, how dare you?
Your Bob Dylan impersonation might need to take a back seat to that one. Or sit down in the hole or whatever it was with Buffalo Bill. So Austin Chronicles Best of Restaurant Edition. We'll talk about that coming up. We got crazy football stories all over the place, including the A&M player personnel guy talking NIL, maybe a little too clearly, with folks on a tour. But UCLA and USC maybe going Big Ten is certainly the biggest college football story of the day. We're still trying to wrap our heads around that. Speaking of wrapping your heads around stuff, let's see where this goes. Where are we at in society? A gender discussion.
Where are we at in society today?
Oh, boy.
All right, Chad. Yeah. First of all, we have to do some programming, some off-air programming on the air. I'm sorry. I mistook my Thursdays. The restaurant conversation is going to be next Thursday.
Oh, dear Lord.
Which is okay. I was a little bit concerned that I hadn't gotten a text from Sarah that they were on their way just yet, and I just rechecked the email, which is something that I set up when I was on vacation.
That's okay.
It's fine because we're going to get to talk more USC and UCLA to the Big Ten.
But we will also mention to people when the voting begins, which is today.
It does start today,
so we'll get into some of that, but then we'll get back into the USC thing.
So my apologies.
That's
anyhow, the story of the moment here in today's Where Are We At in Society is apparently the BBC is telling its staff that there are more than 150 genders and is instructing them to police each other's use of gender pronouns. And so some BBC employees have blown the whistle to other media outlets to say this is getting ridiculous.
Nah.
Now, yeah, I know. So what did I do? Because, well, it's me and I'm fascinated by this subject, but I'm also curious. 150?
Yeah,
gender pronouns?
There just can't be.
Like, what are we doing here?
Are you saying 150 pronouns, genders, or gender identities?
I'm sorry, gender identities.
Okay.
Who knows about the pronouns?
Yeah, please. Don't get us to that many.
But I decided to try and find as many of the 150 as possible.
All right.
And unfortunately, I couldn't find 150, but I found a good 50.
Okay. Well, give me some examples. What did you not know about?
What is agender?
Agender?
Agender.
I'm assuming
agender.
I'm assuming
all one word.
That would be like I'm assuming it's like asexual. You don't identify as any gender.
They don't have a gender.
Yeah.
How about aliagender?
Aliagender. I don't know.
A non-binary gender identity that doesn't fit into existing gender schemas or constructs.
Try to explain that on a first date.
What is androgyne? A-N-D-R-O-G-Y-N-E.
Androgyne. That's when your gender doesn't match with something, but I don't know exactly what. I don't know.
Someone whose gender presentation or identity is neutral, androgynous, or has both masculine and feminine characteristics.
So everything. All right.
Aporagender. A-P-O-R-A, gender.
Gender specifically interested in makeup and the way it affects the pores? I don't know.
Describing the experience of having a specific gender that's different from a man, woman, or any combination of the two. So you're not a man, woman, or any other combination of things.
Wouldn't that be the agender?
I don't know.
All right.
Boy, spelled B-O-I.
Oh, I thought I knew one. It means you're half of outcast? You identify as half of outcast?
Big boy.
That's the only time I've heard it spelled that way, so that's what I'm going to guess.
It's a term used primarily by the LGBTQIA+ communities of color that typically describes someone who has a presentation sexually or gender that's considered boyish.
Okay.
All right, now you have this one. No, I'm going to pass on that one. Demi boy.
Demi boy?
Yeah.
Demi boy. Wow. Okay, it is someone who identifies as a boy, but also a Democrat.
That was a
good
guess.
What about Demi Moore, G.I. Jane?
Oh, great guess.
I identify as a boy, but I look really good in the short hair like she did in G.I. Jane. There it is. It's a Demi Moore freak who's also a boy.
The term Demi Boy tells you about someone's gender identity, but doesn't convey any information about the sex or gender assigned to someone at birth.
Wait a minute. We have a gender that specifically labels itself by telling you that it's not labeling itself?
Yeah.
That's strong.
Feminine of center.
Ooh, that sounds necessary. Feminine of center. All right, this is a gender that ends up, you identify as not specifically female, but you're more, no, I can't get there. What is it?
People who experience their gender as feminine or femme, but some feminine of center people also identify with the word woman, but others don't.
Whoa.
So the term feminine of center tells you about someone's gender identity, but doesn't convey any information about the sex or gender assigned at birth.
Man. Do you know anyone in your life that has like a job that's either so cool or they make so much money that you just feel like they have too much time on their hands? Because I want to find out what all these people are doing for a living. They must be making a ton of money and have all this extra time to sit around and think about this stuff. How do you even get yourself to this point?
All right, last one here. I mean, this really could go on because I thought that I only had about 20. It turns out there's probably closer to 60 or 70 on this
list. Demi Boy.
All right. Almond Joy.
Oh, that's perfect. Whoo, Almond Joy.
You identify as Almond Joy.
Identify as an Almond Joy. Wow.
Not as an Almond Joy, as Almond Joy.
As Almond Joy. I'm going to say it has something to do with being a light-skinned, mixed-raced male. That's my theory. How close did I get?
It's a good guess. Sometimes you feel like you have nuts, sometimes you don't.
You set us up on the last one. Did you go all that way for an Almond Joy joke?
Yeah.
Did you make them all up?
No, but the other ones.
Oh, the others are real.
Oh, the others are real.
You just made it.
We really have two-spirit, trigender, transitioning, transmasculine, transfeminine, third gender, stone butch, soft butch, social dysphoria.
Wow.
I mean, it's polygender, pangender, omnigender, novigender.
That's a good job. I've been working with Trey a long time. I can normally see those things when they're on the way. Zay, did you sense that he was headed for a really, like a dad Almond Joy joke or not?
I knew something was coming.
You could feel it?
I could feel something was coming.
You set me up well. That was good.
Well, you know, I'm having to elevate my game today after the rollerblade joke that Paul turned
out good to do.
At the start of the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we've had all kinds of like old school, like dad jokes, weird curveball jokes, but they're still kind of evil. Yeah, that was good.
I'm going to tell my cannibal joke on the other side.
Oh, my God. All right, 2 o'clock hour coming up. We will let you know how you can vote on that Austin Chronicle Best of Restaurant Edition. You know, we're food snob. Well, Trey's a food snob around here. I try not to be, but probably a little bit of one. But we will also get back to the big college football stories of the day. That A&M story we thought was going to be a pretty big story. It still kind of is, but USC and UCLA said, hold my California IPA beer, because we may be going to the Big Ten. We'll get you the latest on that story. Don't move. It's the Horn.